Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember that the resources I speak about on the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org. Well, I have often said that the issue of origins is not just an apologetic issue, it is the apologetic issue. And I thought about that this morning. Early this morning, I was reading a story in USA Today titled Early Bird, Tiny Ancient Bird Dinosaur Discovered. Now, note that word, ancient bird dinosaur, or that composite of words. Well, the article pontificates that a bird-like dinosaur that lived 99 million years ago is one of the smallest dinosaurs that has as yet ever been found. And by the way, it's also one of the most ancient birds ever uncovered. It was discovered in northern Myanmar, and this hummingbird-like dinosaur allegedly provides us with a window into the world of dinosaurs at the lowest end of the body size spectrum. And all of this requires us to swallow assumptions that make the Bernie Sanders Green New Deal pale by comparison. As I mentioned in Friday's broadcast, according to the Darwinian paradigm, humans and fruit flies share a common ancestor. And so, by the way, do boys and bananas. The tree of life appears in Origin to persuade the faithful that all species, that all kinds are lineal descendants of some few beings that lived long before the first bed of the Cambrian system was deposited. At the root of the tree, well, you find a handful of organic building blocks, and at the tips of its budding branches are all modern species. And as I mentioned Friday, Darwin's Tree of Life has become an icon, and not just any icon, it's the principal symbol of evolution. For multitudes, the icon is now the argument. The mere mention of it invokes devotees to bow deeply before the twin altars of common descent and natural selection. And yet, when I began my own liberating journey from Darwinian fundamentalism to a biblical worldview, I found Darwin's Tree of Life to be, well, to be purely mythological. What seems patently obvious upon closer examination is that in the geological period that's designated Cambrian, the highest orders in the biological hierarchy appear suddenly and fully formed. And that is precisely the case. Darwin's Tree of Life is not only uprooted by the Cambrian explosion, the fossil record shows no evidence of the origin of species by means of common descent and natural selection. And yet, the plot thickens. Whenever I bring up the lack of fossil transitions from one species to another, evolutionists habitually point to Archaeopteryx as a transitional fossil between birds and dinosaurs. And now, of course, this tiny ancient bird dinosaur discovered in northern Myanmar is the newest star of the show. But when you dispense with all the hype, here's what you find. Neither Archaeopteryx nor this alleged tiny bird dinosaur, neither is a likely candidate for the missing link between dinosaurs and birds. Now, why do I say that? Well, I say that because birds and alleged ancestral dinosaurs happened to thrive during the same period. Moreover, both appear suddenly in the fossil record with masterfully engineered wings and feathers that are common in birds that you can observe today. So to think that either of these is a missing link between reptiles and birds, you'd have to convince yourself that scales evolved into feathers, that air friction acting on genetic mutation could have frayed the outer edges of reptilian scales, and that over the course of millions of years, these scales became increasingly like feathers until one day the perfect feather emerged. And of course, that the delicate, darting flitter of a hummingbird-like dinosaur is a miraculous function of unguided, purposeless processes. Well, today, just like 40 years ago when I started talking about this, if I say that the fossil record is an embarrassment to Darwin's evolutionary hypothesis, people invariably bring up Archaeopteryx and now this Myanmar marvel. And they do it with such regularity that I coined the word pseudosaur. Pseudo means false, sore, reptile, and therefore pseudosaur denotes a false link between reptiles and birds. As noted by an evolutionary expert in the science of statistical probability, we are not even authorized to consider the exceptional case of the Archaeopteryx as a true link. A necessary state of transition between classes such as reptiles and birds, by any stretch of the imagination, is a stretch beyond a link. It is a stretch into credulity. An animal displaying characters belonging to two different groups can never be treated as a true link as long as the intermediary stages have not been found and as long as the mechanisms of transition remain unknown. And I've often quoted Stephen Jay Gould. He's now passed away. He's of Harvard University. He was a militant evolutionist, and he concluded that Archaeopteryx cannot be considered a legitimate fossil transition from one species to another. So here you have a doctrinaire evolutionist saying that this, and vicariously, the Myanmar marvel, can't be considered a legitimate fossil transition from one species to another. Why? Because at the higher level of evolutionary transition between basic morphological designs, gradualism has always been in trouble, though it remains the official position of most Western evolutionists. Smooth intermediates between different types of creatures are almost impossible to construct, and that even in thought experiments. And there is certainly no evidence for them in the fossil record. The fossil record simply, categorically, undeniably says no. Well, I remain grateful today, as in my early investigations, for the laudable candor of doctrinaire evolutionists, but unfortunately it doesn't always get to the newspaper. So I must say that when I read ridiculous stories like that of the tiny bird dinosaur in papers like USA Today. I'm often not sure whether to laugh or cry or throw a tantrum, as I imagine I just did, and that on the air. By the way, I've written about this, and in theory at least, and in detail, actually, in a book called The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, as well as The Creation Answer Book. Both of those resources are available on the web at equip.org. When we come back from the break, we'll go to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And do remember, it is people like you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth that are touching the lives of people all around the globe. You're making a difference. Thanks for your support. And do remember, as always, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back.
How good are the manuscripts on which the New Testament is based? Some skeptics of the Bible claim that the text has been deliberately changed. Dr. Craig Evans set out to investigate the actual texts that have survived from antiquity and interviewed experts who know best in the eye-opening new film, Fragments of Truth. To receive the DVD, Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers. Counter to our intuitions, Dante depicts sinners as eager to enter the inferno, for hell promises to give them exactly what they want, their sin and themselves forever. Other topics include, did the universe really have a beginning? Christian apologetics in a nutshell. Christianity and the origins of hospitals and modern medicine. The indomitable human spirit of Philip K. Dick. Why arguments over fetal pain capability ultimately miss the mark in the abortion debate, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer Books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Can we trust the Bible? The Christian faith is firmly rooted in the teachings of the New Testament, but can we really trust the Bible? Skeptics will tell you that the authenticity of the Bible cannot be trusted, arguing that the gospel manuscripts have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In the New Faith Life original film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on, traveling around the world to investigate the most ancient New Testament manuscripts available. Along the way, Dr. Evans highlights groundbreaking new evidence, demonstrating that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Let's go to Jose in Tampa, Florida. He's listening on the web. Hi, Jose. Jose, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, the name is Sylvester, not Jose. Sorry.
And your question?
Yes. My question is, the actions of Robin Hood, is it biblical? And if and is there any, has anyone written anything about that comparison?
Well, first of all, it's not biblical. In fact, it goes back to medieval times, and the story is oftentimes disputed, so we don't know whether it's real or legendary. But the story in either case does not cohere with the biblical ethic. And I say that because, in essence, what the story is communicating is forced redistribution of wealth, which is sort of what you find in socialism or in communism. I think what you will find in terms of a theological deduction from Scripture is Christian capitalism, which is responsibility associated with wealth. It doesn't matter what you have, it's what you do with what you have that really matters. So capitalism is all about human productivity, and wherever protected private property is in play, and the operative word here would be protected private property, wherever that's in play, the mystery of capitalism is also in play. And if you're concerned, as I am, with concentrated power, then it is an irony that today more and more people are handing over more and more power to the government for ineffective bureaucratic programs. Capitalism, and this is a point that I think ought to be stressed, particularly with respect to Christian capitalism, it always discourages hoarding and encourages enterprise. So through enterprise, the mystery of capitalism works. And capitalism is not based on greed, but it's based on innovation, it's based on imagination, it's based on creative genius. And so it's not like you're taking a pie and splitting it up, because that's all there is, but it makes many, many more pies. Socialism or communism, on the other hand, is a secular humanist experience. And it's actually an experiential experiment that attempts to establish a godless kingdom on earth. And by the way, I've said this many times, but the more money the government confiscates for counterproductive welfare programs, the less money available for charities, because money simply is not omnipresent.
Okay, so the idea about him stealing from the rich to give to the poor is really not a biblical construct.
Not the forced, not compulsory, not forced. Christians ought to do this of their own free will, and that's biblical, because Jesus says, "What you did for the least of these, my brethren, you did for me." So now we're in the Lenten season. So Christians are all fasting for this entire period, about a six-week period of time. And I can tell you that it's not easy to do, but it is a fasting period that teaches us to refrain from food and feast on God instead. And we find that that this is an example of not only finding unity with God, but finding unity with other people. Because when we're fasting, we have the means to help, to give alms to those who are downtrodden and poor. And so along with our fasting and prayer, this is also a time of giving. And that giving is not compelled, but it is always a freedom of the will, a freedom to please our Lord, a freedom to touch Him by touching other people.
Okay. Do you have anything on that, like, anything in writing that kind of develops the idea? Because I know with Justin, you could only give me such much, you know, so much of the answer.
Yeah. So there's a book that we recommended a number of years ago, and it's now out in a new version. It's by one of my favorite guests, Jay Richards. It's titled Money, Greed, and God, Why Capitalism is the Solution and Not the Problem. This book, in layman's terms, cashes out the issues that I've been discussing in brief.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Steve next. He's in Moss Beach, California. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Hank.
Hi.
I just wanted to pat you on the back for talking about evolution. You know, I've studied it for a while, and the timelines that are brought forth by science, you know, and our biology and college and everything, they really need to be looked at seriously. And I just wanted to commend you on that. I've done a lot of research what they're telling us is not the truth.
No, it's not. It's fake news, but the fake news has been communicated so powerfully and for such a long period of time that people buy into it uncritically. And the basic idea now of secular materialism is that the material facts fix all the facts. And so now you don't have to appeal to God. Everything is a function of chance. And that's why I've said many times that the fossil record says no, that ape men fiction, fantasies, and frauds abound, that chance has no chance whatsoever to do something like I was talking about earlier, forming a feather, and feathers are not simple, by random processes, much less the earth or an eye or an egg. A fertilized human egg is among the most complex structured complexities in the entire universe. And to suppose that something that complex arose by chance ought to stretch our credulity beyond the breaking point.
Well, there you go. I believe even Charles Darwin said that if they couldn't find the intermediary fossils to help prove his theory, that his theory was wrong. So I believe if he were alive today, he would concede.
Well, maybe, maybe not, because sometimes the facts don't convince people. But yeah, I mean, Darwin believed that the fossil record would bear him out. Darwin has been dead, 150 years or more? And the fossil record, has not borne him out. In fact, we don't have these transitional forms. That is why, by the way, I did the monologue that I did. I opened up the show talking about this creature, this early bird dinosaur. I mean, it's not a bird, it's not a dinosaur, it's a transition, at least in the narrative, in the story, in the fake news. It's a transitional form, just like Archaeopteryx was said to be a transitional form. The truth of the matter is, neither is a transitional form. And as I said, there are doctrinaire evolutionists that have stepped at the plate and have admitted that. So Darwin's dead, but some of his followers are now saying Archaeopteryx cannot be counted legitimately as a transitional form. But that doesn't stop the newspaper from writing about it, or any other supposed transitions between dinosaurs or reptiles and birds. And imagine a reptilian scale becoming a feather. I mean, if you actually look into the intricacies of that, and I've written about that in my book, The Creation Answer Book, it is not only improbable, it is indeed impossible. So again, there is no chance whatsoever, but the story continues on breathlessly at newspapers like USA Today, even the Wall Street Journal, my favorite newspaper, but it has some outrageous stories based on conjecture, not based on any evidence. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You remember Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Thanks for standing with us. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Skeptics such as Bart Ehrman claim that the New Testament manuscripts were modified to misrepresent the meaning of the message of our Messiah. Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on in his new film, Fragments of Truth, traveling the globe to track down the most ancient New Testament manuscripts. Spoiler alert, the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it's stronger than ever. To receive the DVD Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries for yourself, or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Because questions remain about the earliest moments of the universe, scientists offer speculative alternatives to our universe having an actual beginning. Nevertheless, the science that is known to be true provides abundant evidence that the universe came into being a finite time ago, just as the Bible teaches. Other topics include how Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers, Christian apologetics in a nutshell, John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth Preacher, Christian imagination and the problem of horrendous evil, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.